Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed our healer. And that as we come into this time of your word read and your word proclaimed, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together would be holy and acceptable in your sight. Through Christ our Lord, who is our hope, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Divine healing has always been a part of my ministry. Even from the very beginning, even when I was in seminary training to be a pastor, healing had been a part of my ministry. And in fact, our instructors in seminary encouraged us to have some kind of research focus in all of our classwork. Some people chose to focus on evangelism, others chose to focus on pastoral care and counseling. I chose to focus on divine healing. And so, whatever class, whenever there was a term paper to write, if it was, say, pastoral care class, I wrote a paper about incorporating divine healing into pastoral care. New Testament history and criticism, I wrote a paper on the history of healing throughout the New Testament, and so on. I've had a lot of people scoff at me over the subject of divine healing. In fact, I even had a couple of seminary professors really scoff at me. And one seminary professor in particular, Dr. Thompson, actually made fun of me in front of the whole class for my position on divine healing. But now, I want to say that Dr. Thompson was having a lot of personal problems at that time, and so I gave him a pass on that. I have forgiven him for that, for making me or trying to make me look foolish. But I've also had other pastors scoff at me. Because after all, healing is messy. It's unpredictable. It's not something you can control. And when you go talking about divine healing, people are going to want proof. And if proof doesn't come, then they're afraid they're going to look foolish. And so a lot of pastors avoid the subject of divine healing like a plague. I've had a number of church members over the years scoff at me as well. But you know, I decided a long time ago that I'm going to let that be their problem. Scoffing doesn't bother me. Because I have seen way too much healing to change my mind on the matter. I have seen brain tumors disappear. I have seen heart disease completely clear up. I've seen that happen twice. In fact, I want to tell you about the most recent one. The most recent event of heart disease being completely healed happened with a 94-year-old woman. She was a church member in the Epworth congregation in Fort Dodge, Iowa, where I was the pastor at. And she had an enlarged heart. She was, it was not getting better. It was getting worse. And she decided to stop treatment and go on hospice care. And she went into the nursing home. Her name was Helen. And I went and visited Helen about every week. And I asked her, I brought along my anointing oil with me one time, and I asked her if she'd like me to anoint her and to receive divine healing. And she said, absolutely, yes, I need that. And so we prayed. Now, fast forward 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, the hospice director comes to her and says, Helen, your health has improved so much, we can no longer justify you being on hospice care. Medicare is not going to pay for you to be on hospice anymore. Fast forward another 3 weeks, and the nursing home director comes to her and says, Helen, your long-term care insurance is no longer going to pay for your stay here because you've improved so much. And she went home back to her own home with the help of her oldest daughter, which is perfectly normal for a 94-year-old person needing some help. And Helen lived to be 95 years old, and she died very peacefully in her sleep, and it was not of heart disease. Probably one of the most dramatic healings that I know about that has happened to a member here at Staves. Many of you know and love Jerry Langlin, and if you've known Jerry for a long time, you'll know that at one time she had terrible arthritis in one hand. And that hand was all crippled up, and it was largely not useful. And her and Bonnie King, as she tells me, went to a healing service somewhere here in Des Moines, and Jerry did not go there to have her hand healed. There was some other issue going on. I'm not sure what it was. She doesn't even remember what it was. But she told me that about halfway through the service, she gets this sensation going, and She says she feels like some kind of power or electricity or something is bouncing around inside her, and she starts to tremor and shake. And she says to Bonnie, "Bonnie, I don't know what's wrong. I'm just shaking." Now, there was a Jamaican lady sitting behind her, and the Jamaican lady puts her hands on Jerry's shoulder and says, "Girlie, you're having a healing." And you know, that arthritic hand straightened right out.
Wow.
That's the most dramatic event. If anything, I scoff at the scoffers. In fact, I feel sorry for them because they are missing out on so much. I myself have had two experiences with divine healing just recently. As many of you may or may not know, I have experienced neck pain for my entire adult life, ever since the age of 18. Now, there's no injury, there's no arthritis, there's no pathology of any kind. It is strictly nerve pain. I have an overactive nerve in my neck, and my dad had the same condition. And over the years, I've done everything to try to get rid of that nerve pain. I've gone to physical therapy, chiropractors, acupuncture, trigger point injections. I've been on prescription opioid painkillers. I've had surgery where they go in with a electric needle and they burn the nerve off to try to stop the pain signals from reaching my brain. And earlier this year, I was getting frustrated because I no longer wanted to be on these opioid painkillers any longer. I was sick of it. I went back to the doctor and he talked me into having this surgery one more time where they would go in and burn the nerves off. And so I went ahead and did that. I still had some residual pain. He did an additional trigger point injection on me. That brought the pain down about 50%. And when I told him that I had a 50% relief in pain, he was overjoyed. I said, "Really?" He said, "Well, yeah, in this business, a 50% reduction in pain is a roaring success." You know, in the kingdom of heaven, 100% reduction of pain is what we call success. At this point, I became very discouraged because I still had that pain. It was greatly reduced, but it was still there. And I began to question God. And I said, "You know, Lord, I have done everything possible. I have prayed about this. I've gone to doctors. I've done every procedure they've offered. I've been prayed over by many people many times. Why don't you heal me?" Terry, there is a PowerPoint on the stick there. It's called "Healing Belongs to Us." I have some scriptures on there. I'm going to need that in just a minute. So I began to question God. Why don't you heal me? Now, there's a pastor in Des Moines that I know by reputation only, and I'll say that he has a good reputation. He used to do monthly healing services where he would teach about healing and then offer anointing and prayer. And so I got on the phone and I called him and I asked him if he would help me out in some way, whether it was by praying for me or something else. And as it turned out, that phone call was very eye-opening. In fact, I would go so far as to say that phone call was life-changing because he directed me to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. I don't have that on PowerPoint. If you go to file, Terry, go to file. And then Lexar. There you go. So he directed me to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. And I don't have this on PowerPoint, so I'm just going to read it to you. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." He says that if you say to this mountain in faith, "Go throw yourself into the sea and don't doubt, it will happen for you." Now, Jesus is speaking figuratively here, okay? He's not literally talking about throwing a mountain into the sea, because at the time of Jesus, this was a very common saying, that faith that can move mountains was a very common saying, especially among the rabbis. And the mountain represented some insurmountable problem that was like a mountain that was in our way. And the rabbis would teach the people, you know, faith can move mountains. Faith can remove these problems. You have to believe. You need to believe that you have already received it and it will be yours. Now, that involves two things. First of all, it involves an absolute confidence that God wants you to have it. And I can tell you with great certainty, friends, that God wants you to be healed. He wants to give healing. Healing is part of the package deal that comes with salvation. When we are saved, we now have the opportunity and the grace to be healed. And so we have to have absolute confidence that God will give it to us. And then we have to continue to believe that we have it. We have to persevere in faith. And I'm going to share with you what happened with me. So with that newfound insight, I prayed earnestly. And I prayed this verse back to God. And I said, Lord, I believe with all of my heart that you will heal this neck pain. I believe that it is mine and I receive it. And that neck pain went right away. And it faded. But now the enemy, and here's where I had to persevere in faith. The enemy, Satan, wanted me to doubt that healing had happened. That pain tried to creep back. And every time it would try to creep back, I would rebuke it. I would say, no, Satan, I am healed. I will not let you put that pain back on me. I am healed. You must go. And every time it would go. And so for the next week to 10 days, I had to do that several times a day. And that's what I mean by persevering in belief. Because believe me, Satan wants to take that away from us. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to think it was something else. And, you know, I don't care what kind of false evidence the enemy presents in order to get me to doubt. I'm going to stubbornly persist in faith, believing that I have received that healing. Now, friends, I'll tell you, one of my weaknesses, one of my character defects is that I overthink everything. Okay, Nancy will attest to the fact that I am always up in my head and I'm always mulling things over and I'm thinking about things and I'm spinning my wheels and I'm not getting anywhere. And that was Satan's next tactic. He said, okay, let's get Tim stuck up in his head. And I began to think about the pain. I said, okay, the pain is gone. But was it God? Was it the surgery? And I started to try to analyze all the possibilities, but I still continued to believe, but I was asking, well, maybe God used the surgery to heal my pain. Later that day, I got very weak. And for the next 4 days, I became extremely sluggish and run down. I even had trouble staying awake. There was still no pain, though. But this fatigue, this really awful chronic fatigue that was not allowing me to even stay awake during the day, got bad enough that I went to the doctor. He took some blood. He looked at my blood test and gave me a thorough checkup. He came back, showed me the blood test results, and he said, your blood tests are textbook perfect. He said, the only thing I can find wrong with you is that your blood pressure is way too low. Now, I take two blood pressure medications, or I did, and he said, I think we need to take you off one of those blood pressure medications. And so he did. And my blood pressure is fine. That was God saying to me, yes, Tim, that relief of pain, that was all me. That was all me. And I want you to go to the people at Staves, and I want you to go to anyone who will listen, and I want you to tell them that I am a God that will heal them. I want you to tell them that I am a God of healing. Now, friends, in order to receive divine healing, we have to believe that we already possess it. By faith, we need to believe that we already have it. And our faith is extremely vital when it comes to the matter of healing. We have to have faith that God does want to heal us and that God already has healed us, and we need to persist in that faith. Now, I want to show you three places in the scriptures where this is the case. The first one is Luke chapter 17, and I apologize if you can't read this way in the back. I didn't have enough time to really perfect this. But there's a place in the gospel where Jesus encounters 10 people with leprosy, and they cry out to Jesus, And they say, Lord Jesus, heal us of this leprosy. And Jesus says, go on your way. Go to the temple officials and have them check you over so they can tell you that you no longer have leprosy and you can now return to your lives. There were 10 men. One of them was a Samaritan. And by the way, nowadays we refer to Samaritans as Palestinians. All right, that's just a little side note I'll throw in there. And so this one Samaritan, this one Palestinian, is the only one who comes back to thank Jesus. And here's what Jesus says to him. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Now, we go on to Matthew chapter 9, verses 23-22. And here is a case where a woman has been bleeding for 12 years. And if you read it in the original King James, it says that she had an issue of blood. And so it kind of implies that it was some kind of female problem. And she had been bleeding for 12 years. And let me read this for you. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And that moment, the woman was healed. Your faith has healed you. One more. Mark chapter 10, verses 51 and 52. And here Jesus encounters a man who is blind from birth. The blind man's name is Bartimaeus. And here's his conversation with Bartimaeus. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Your faith has healed you. Your faith is what moves the hand of God. And in order to be healed, you don't even have to come forward this morning. You don't have to be anointed. You don't have to be prayed over. You can be healed right where you're sitting right now. In fact, that happened last year during our healing service. And someone was healed right where they were at. So you don't necessarily even have to come forward. Those things, that coming forward and being anointed and being prayed over, those are symbols that remind us of God's presence. With sincere faith, you could be healed right now, right where you're sitting. Now, you may want to come forward. You may need to come forward this morning. You might need to do that as a sign of submitting to God's power, submitting and asking and accepting God's help. Because you know what? There are a lot of people who do not like to accept help. You know, there are a lot of people who say, well, you know what? I got to stand on my own 2 feet. And they don't like to accept help. Maybe that describes you. And if it does, that just might be something that God wants to change about you. And so that by coming forward this morning, you would be submitting to God and saying, yes, I do need help. I need something beyond myself. And that could be very helpful. Now, if God has already healed you where you're sitting, go ahead and come forward anyhow. Tell me about that. I need to know about that. Because you see, God has a purpose for healing us, so that his name can be glorified. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to speak or anything, but I tell you, if God has healed you, I need to know about that because I want to be able to glorify God's name. Now, let's talk about when healing doesn't happen, when healing doesn't come, because there are some spiritual issues that can stand in the way and block God's healing power. And the first spiritual issue that can block God's healing power is a lack of faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 9 here, verse 23 and 24, actually 21 and 24. A father comes to Jesus, a man who is a father, brings his boy who is demon-possessed, and here's the conversation that Jesus has with this man. Jesus asks the boy's father, how long has he been like this? How long has he been possessed by a demon? From childhood, he answered, the demon often throws him into the fire or into the water to try to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now listen to Jesus' response. If I can do anything? Everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Now, what the father was saying is, my faith is not everything it should be. My faith is not perfect. Please perfect it. And if healing doesn't come because of a lack of faith, cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I believe, but help my unbelief. My faith is imperfect, and I need you to be the perfecter of my faith. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. Another spiritual block to divine healing is unconfessed sin. You know, that sin, that thing that you really don't want to admit was wrong. You know, maybe there was a time where you got revenge on someone and it felt really good and you still savor it today. Or maybe there was that time where you really shut a person's mouth for them, but you did it in a sinful manner that really diminished them and you feel really good about that. And you don't want to confess that as a sin. Or maybe there is some sin that you're not remembering that needs to be brought to your mind that you need to confess. But you know the type of sin I'm talking about. And let's face it, friends, when it comes to sin, we love to do that. That's why we continue to sin even after we're saved. It's because we love to do it. And so this morning, let the Holy Spirit check you. Is there some unconfessed sin? Is there some sin that you really don't want to admit that is actually wrong because you savor it too much? Proverbs 28 verse 13 says this, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces their sin finds mercy. Let the Holy Spirit check you this morning to show you if there is some unconfessed sin that might stand in the way of your healing. A third spiritual block to healing, divine healing, is harboring unforgiveness. 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. When we forgive other people, God forgives us. In fact, God forgives us first, and then he says, you know, that's a gift, and that gift is not complete until you give it away to other people. And if you refuse to give it away, you're going to lose it. When we forgive other people, we inherit a blessing. And that blessing, that includes all areas of our life, not just healing, but all areas of our life. So again, let the Holy Spirit check you this morning. Is there some person that you have yet to forgive? Or maybe a person you think you've forgiven, but not really? Because that can stand in the way of real healing. One fourth and final spiritual block to divine healing is that we want to be healed for the wrong reasons. Okay? Now, a lot of people will come forward. They'll want to be healed. Why? So that they can feel better and then get back into their routine of life and they can live life again. And there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said earlier, friends, God has one single purpose in healing us, and that is to glorify his name. And so if you come forward this morning only wanting healing just for yourself and you're not interested in glorifying God's name in the process, well, then forget it. That's going to stand in the way of your healing. God wants his name glorified, and we should glorify God's name. And, you know, coming with a wrong motive, coming with saying, I just want this for myself. I don't care if God gets the glory for it. You know, God has that purpose. And I'm going to refer you here to John chapter 14, verses 12 through 13. Very truly I tell you, again this is Jesus speaking, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God answers our prayer for healing and for other things, so that his name can be glorified. Now, I want to just offer one last thought. Our salvation includes many, many benefits. In fact, I was looking online yesterday, and I found a church website. And according to this church website, there are 51 benefits that come with salvation. There are 51 benefits, and they list all of these benefits, and they list the scriptures below them that prove that that is a benefit of salvation. And of course, one of the benefits of salvation is the forgiveness of sins. A second benefit would be eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. A third benefit of salvation is having our hearts and minds transformed. And this is called holiness, or being a new creation. Remember I said that the reason we continue to sin is because we love it so much? Well, in salvation, God will want to make us into a new creation so that we no longer love that thing, and instead we're repulsed by it. That is a benefit of salvation. But among that list, and if you go home today and just simply type into Google 51 benefits of salvation, that will probably come up for you. I'd encourage you to take a look at it. But among that list of 51 benefits includes healing. And Isaiah 53 verse 5 says this. This is talking about Jesus going to the cross for our sins. But he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. So, once again, let the Holy Spirit check you. Is there some unconfessed sin or some person you haven't forgiven? What is your true motive for seeking healing this morning? Is it just for yourself, or do you want to truly glorify God with that? Maybe there might be a lack of faith. And if that's the case, if you don't feel like you have the faith to be healed, then come forward. We'll pray about that. But healing belongs to us. Why? Because God is a God of healing. And that's not only healing from sin, it's not only healing from eternal death, it's also physical healing from physical maladies in this life as well. And that's what God wanted me to tell you this morning. And so I'd like for us to prepare for a time to come forward this morning. We sang the hymn, "You are the God that healeth thee." Terry, if you can get the second verse back up on the screen. I want us to sing through that second verse several times. And when I sense that we have, really have the Spirit of God moving, and I'll pause and I'll invite you to then come forward to receive that healing. But as we sing this morning, I want you just to simply sing out these words from your heart, get involved in the music, feel the music, and let the Holy Spirit kindle your faith. So let's sing together.
Lord, the God that healeth me, you are the Lord my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord my healer.
Let's sing it from our hearts.
You are the God.
Ready to lay down the burdens that bind you.